Tracy, you taught visually impaired children for many years in the Los Angeles area. Talk about that experience. How did you get involved in that?
Well, my husband was teaching in the LA Unified School District. The visually impaired, he's taught mobility. Mm-hmm. So he taught the blind how to use the cane. And I met him and learned about his program, and I wasn't really getting anywhere with teaching the deaf and hard of hearing at the time, so I thought visually impaired would be interesting, and Braille was fascinating. So I went through the program and started working with him on that, and I would teach Braille and multi-disabled children in the classroom, itinerant, and he would be working on, you know, with children out on the streets, teaching them mobility.
I see. Is your degree in education? What is your background?
I got a degree in liberal arts to distance learning. I'm kind of a long way around education. And my background was not in education. Liberal arts was the arts, but I've also been a photographer and a graphic designer.
Yeah, and I want to ask you some questions about that, but I'll do a little time leap here to somewhere around 2016. You were part of Kalamazoo Institute of Arts, an effort to create an art exhibit back then for the visually impaired. So I see the connection there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you make art for the visually impaired?
Well, there's a lot of ways that we were museum was trying to bring in examples and things to do for people that were disabled in some way or had some sort of challenge. And one of those was visually impaired. So how do you do a tour for somebody that can't see? So Michelle Stempien, who was the working in the education program at that time, and Frank Wolf, who was also a docent there that worked with visually impaired. Mm-hmm. We all teamed up and tried to figure out a way to expand the small program that they had when I came in. And we developed a tour for the visually impaired to come in, and they would touch, it was a touch tour, and they would come along and we'd show them sculptures where they were able to put on gloves and touch the sculptures. And then we would ask questions and have them answer and tell, you know, have them tell us their experiences. And so it was like a tour, but they would be able to touch the sculptures.
Fascinating.
So, yeah, it was really a lot of fun, and we worked quite a lot with that, and I wasn't the person that came up with the program at all, but they tapped my skills when they mm-hmm. knew of who I was, so.
Yeah, I can see how that came into play back then.
Yeah.
So then we'll go back in time a little bit. You just mentioned a moment ago that you were also a photographer. So that was back in the 80s. I understand you were an army photographer in Korea. So tell us about that. What did you photograph? How did you get involved in that?
Well, you know, I volunteered, which sometimes I think might not have been a good idea, but I did. They asked me, what did you want to do? And I thought, photography was something that I had never done, so I chose photography, and it was quite a good job to have in the service at the time. And of course, you get posted where they put you, and they posted me to Korea, and I spent a year there, and it was absolutely fascinating. It was a lot of hard work, and I ran my butt off, but I learned an awful lot. I was working for the public affairs department there, and a lot of the times we would have to go and photograph the meetings between the two countries at Panmunjom.
I see.
And that was really fascinating and amazing and a lot of fun to work with. That was quite a job. So that's what I did. And mostly I would just, photograph what we call grip and grins. Was, you know, the famous person comes up, or a VIP or something would come up and meet the generals and stuff. And we'd shoot them, you know, shaking hands and so on. And, you know, parties and special events that would happen on in the service. And we'd come and photograph those and photograph activities that would happen and, exercises and things like that. So it was quite fun.
So we're making this trajectory here from working in education as a photographer, which is definitely an art form. And then in the 90s, you begin working as a graphic artist at a newspaper and also at NASA at the Edward Air Force Base. How did that happen?
I just applied and they put me in as a graphic designer at the Edwards Air Force Base working as a contractor with NASA, and that was a lot of fun, a lot of work, and we worked on base and would do all the graphic design needs that they had on base, and a lot of highlights were Chuck Yeager's visit and watching the SR-71 do a low flyover and winning honorable mention in their logo contest. So it was a lot of fun to work with, and they closed down a certain section, so I was laid off, and that's when I began at the news, the newspaper that I worked with. It was a local newspaper there in Palmdale, mm-hmm. called the Antelope Valley Press, and that was intense. And that's how I learned Quark Express on the computer and did page layouts and working 15, 16 hours, 6 days a week and just banging it out. But I loved it because I would come in at 7:30 in the morning and not wake up until 5 and going, what happened to the day? So, yeah, it was one of those days that just was really intense, but I really enjoyed it.
Obviously, there's something in there in you that is threading through this creative expression, although it seems like it wasn't until 2012, when you're in Kalamazoo, that you're in a class learning about pastels, that it really begins to blossom.
I would say so. I took the class at the KIA just as a beginning class with Laura Kuhl, and I walked in and she had maybe 3 or 4 tables laid out with pastels on all of them, and the colors just hit me in the face, and the feeling of using the pastel on the paper and the colors, and I absolutely fell in love with the medium and just went whole hog after that. I haven't stopped since.
Did you try other mediums, or you were so infatuated with pastels that that first love has stayed with you?
Well, when I was very young, I did the usual oils and acrylics and pencil drawings and graphics and things like that when I was in high school and college, but I never really went head over heels like this. This medium has really captured me.
You seem to have come to art, though, later in life in this manner than most. I'm wondering, are there advantages or disadvantages to devoting yourself to your art later on?
Well, the thing I could think of is exploring different mediums like I have, graphic design, photography, and so on, gives you a background to bring to the medium that you end up doing. For instance, with pastels, I don't think I would have done as well with my pastel work if I hadn't had the background of photography, because it allows you to see the composition and the light a little better because you've already experienced doing that through the lens. As well as graphic design, it helps you understand the foundation of putting something together on a page to make it look nice. And those two things particularly helped me in learning how to use, learning how to put the medium on the paper and how to do it. And that helped me a lot from having that background. So getting older and doing this a little bit later allows you to use the experience you used before.
When I first saw your art, when I visited your website, that first opening page, I immediately fell in love. Tracy, I have to say, it's exquisite. And it's also interesting, as I explored more of your art, that your range... You know, at first when I saw that homepage, I thought, oh, this is all going to be very realistic with exquisite detail. But then when I explored it a little bit more, you also go the full range, right on up to abstract art. Where does your heart lie, or do you continue to go the full range of styles?
Kind of an all over the map kind of person. They tell us that if you want to get into a museum, you used to have a direction. I'm like, oh. Because I like to do it all. I think there's lovely things about abstract art, and it's easier because you don't have to go to the nth degree in detail.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of fun to open up and play, but then I always gravitate back towards the realistic and detailed, because I'm a kind of a detail person anyway, but I love color, and it's just, yeah, it's just whatever strikes me is something that I'm going to try. I try and look for challenges. One of the inspirations for the piece that you saw at the beginning of my portfolio, Martini on the Rocks, I saw a painting with a bunch of medicine bottles in it with reflections, and I said, I can do that. So that's why I tried that martini painting.
Actually, I've always thought that water and glass and, you know, things that don't have a lot of color until an artist looks at them and you see that they have 1,000 shades of color. But those can be very difficult to capture.
They are, especially someone like me who's very affected by color. I like a lot of color and brightness, but then there's a loveliness and elegance to things that are not a lot of color, like atonal paintings and so on. And the Martini is very subtle. That was hard to figure out because I would want to go overboard, but, you know, you'd always have to dial it back. But then there's other paintings that I do that are abstract that are just color up the yin-yang. So I'm just kind of all over the map.
You are. It's wonderful. Yeah, you know, I think I get who you are, and then I turn the page, and it's like, oh, yeah. Here's a surprise.
I've had a few changes in my life to make me be able to jump around like that.
And in fact, I think in the descriptions of one of your works, you say something about, I was angry today, so I had to make crushed grapes in my painting.
Yeah, grapes of wrath.
Yes, that's it. What captures your imagination? Are you out in nature and you see reflection or light or color seems to be your thing? What kind of subject usually draws your imagination, or is that all over the map too?
Well, there is one thing I don't do well, and that's paint people. So I'm not a portrait. So I stay away from that because I can't draw people very well. But I love nature. I love color. And nature has color everywhere. And even in black and white, nature is gorgeous. So it's mostly nature, but I'm really drawn to things that are opposite of each other. So I like really dark paintings with a bit of light to them.
Mm.
Or I like really bright, bold paintings with a little bit of corner in the corner that might be a little subtle. And so I like things that are opposite that make you look at something. So that's what inspires me when I see things that are really have opposite things and opposite directions to them. So the dark against the light or the light against the dark or a color against another color. Something like that. Like I, as a photographer, I took a lot of pictures of nature, and one particular picture was of a hillside in Solvang that had golden poppies. It was a carpet and it had blue lupine. And you have the orange and the blue together and it just blows you away.
Yeah.
So those kinds of things is what I'm inspired at.
Have you ever developed an artist statement? Is there a certain message, no matter if you're working abstract or realistic, is there a certain something that you want to say to the world with your art?
I do have an artist statement, and it's for the love of color, and I think that's what I like to say to the world, is just stop and look, because there's quite a bit out there that is absolutely gorgeous to look at. And beauty always makes things better. I like beauty. I like the way things can place themselves in the world that is ordered. It's just the celebration of the colors of things and the subtleties and the details and everything. And just stop and look. In my artist statement, I talk about Diane Ackerman, who writes the book A Natural History of Senses.
Yeah.
It came out in 1990, and I read that. She had a section on there about how she would come across an autumn leaf on the ground, and it would absolutely stun her, and she'd get to a point where she'd barely move. And that's exactly what I do, and it freaked me out when I read it, because, like, oh, my God, somebody else does this. And it just absolutely stuns me when I see certain colors and certain shapes and certain light. It's a little hard for me to take in. But it takes a little time, and you have to slow down and actually look at it.
Yeah. So where can people learn more about you and see more of your work? Where can we send them?
Well, physically, nobody's going anywhere right now.
That's true. It's all online.
I did have a show at the Friendship Village, but that's been canceled.
That's too bad. It seems like this is just the time that we need art the most.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really bad. But there's some online shows right now that are interesting. And, my portfolio online at TracyKleinsteckerFormat.com/work.
And we'll link to that on our page.
Yeah. I will have a show at the Hand and Wrist Surgery offices in March next year.
Oh, interesting.
At Bronson. They have art on their walls and they're waiting. So I'll be going there. And I usually enter the Westminster Presbyterian Church show, which is down in Portage. They have a nice little festival there. And I've been entering in the KBCC alumni art show, because they usually have an online show as well.
So you're an alumni of KBCC?
Yeah, I took a couple classes there. So if you even show up, they give you alumni status.
Well, thank you for sharing your story with us, Tracy, and keep doing what you're doing. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.